Okay, we're on page 2, 11 through 12, 10 lines from the top, last words, Ach Amnam, in English. It is second paragraph, associate, in fact, the rabbi is of blessed memory. Is that what you have?
Yeah.
Okay. We were talking about having a balanced Avodas Hashem, a balance between love and fear, based on what he said at the end of chapter 40, of the one of Avodas Hashem, which is just based on fear, just based on love, is like a bird with one wing. It won't fly. It'll go up in a circle. And if there's no love or fear, it's for sure not going to fly, because it's like a bird with no wings.
Right.
And so he talked about this idea, how does one evoke love and fear? It involves using one's head to meditate on the greatness of Hashem, specifically before doing some mitzvah. And it's good to know, like, the kavana behind the mitzvah. Like, when he goes into the intentions behind the before Talis and Tefillin, for example, right, and he explained the idea of Mitzvah of Tefillin is to be Mamshech Hashem's Meichin, to connect your intellect with Hashem's intellect. Mm-hmm. And he explained that what that entails with the different parshas of the Tefillin representative of the Chochma, Bina, and Das, yes, and corresponding, quote-unquote, to Hashem's four parts of his brain and connecting to our four parts of the brain, and the Talis being the idea that tzitzis coming down and being enveloped in the tzitzis and drawing the Hamshachet down. And it maintains that you have to start with fear, but fear is not enough. You have to also have love, and the love should be at least a natural love of Hashem, which is inherent in every one of us simply because we happen to be Jewish, which he talked about the way back when in chapter 18. So he says here, Ach Amnam Amar Rizal. But our sages say, La'olam al yotzei adam asa min haklal. The literal translation is that a person should never separate himself from the kehillah, from the masses. A person always has to be doing what the community is doing. If there is, for example, this is in Masechta Tanya, and is brought up in, for example, if there is a drought and a public fast day has been declared, so then a person is not allowed to say, well, we got enough people fasting. I'm not such a great to do with doing this at fasting business. What's my fasting going to help? You know what? I'm not going to fast. So if the community is fasting, the person has to also fast. Right. Likewise, if there is, on the other hand, exact opposite, if the community is celebrating some great simcha, like, for example, a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, something like that, something which is affecting the entire community, right, so a person can't say, that is enough dancers. Yeah. But rather, the person has to participate. Now, that's what the pshat of this expression, don't separate yourself from the community, for. But it doesn't say separate yourself from the kehillah. It says, yeah, separate yourself from the klal. Klal usually refers to something as a general rule or principle. Okay. You have a klal and you have a prat. You have a detail and you have the general rule from which that detail is derived. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean over here that a person can't separate himself from the klal, from the general principle? L'chein yiskaven l'yichud l'davka ba yizborach makar nefashas ha'alukis u'makar nefashas kol Yisrael. He has to think that he's uniting and cleaving to Hashem, which is the source of not only his soul, but the souls of every single Jew. He's going to say later on, this is why we say, he's at the bottom of the last wide line over there, this is why we say, L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Yach Hashem Yikivav Yichida Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. We're doing this mitzvah for the sake of every single Jew. Now, does that mean, there's a comedian, a very funny guy, I don't remember his name, he's been in town a couple of times, people have brought him down. So he has this one line, you know, he's a Baal Tshuva, and he talks, you know, Baal Tshuva humor is his deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so he says, you know, he says a very interesting concept they have over here. When he was first becoming Frum, he didn't know how to read Hebrew. So he came to somebody's house Friday night, so the rabbi said, you don't need to make Kiddush, I'll have you in mind. So he thought this is a terrific idea. And he says, this is a guy, can you do that for Tefillin too? you put on tefillin, have me in mind when you put on tefillin, Rabbi.
That's a good idea.
You know, so the answer is no. Even though we're saying, I'm doing this liyachid b'shem kol Yisrael. I'm doing this for the sake of every single Jew. That doesn't mean that when you're saying this before davening or before sfira or whatever else it is that people say this mnemonic, that you're exempting the obligation of somebody else, that they don't have to do it.
Right.
But rather, because they still have to do it, but rather what you're doing is, since it is that the effect of a mitzvah is not limited to three dimensions, and it is that it's called that, it says that the Jewish people are keguf echad, like we're one big body. So anytime a person is going to do a mitzvah, it's going to affect the whole entire Klal Yisrael. So then it says over here that a person is not supposed to go out of the klal. Yeah. That means that a person has to have this kavana, have this intention when they're davening and when they're whatever they're doing, that they're cleaving to Hashem, and it's not only helping them, it's helping Klal Yisrael. You know, if your elbow doesn't bother you, I guess that's one less part of your body that does. So if you're making, if you happen to be the elbow of Klal Yisrael, so you're helping out that little part, which makes that the whole body isn't feeling its elbow. That's a very bad analogy, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that this, that we are cleaving to Hashem, this is the source of all Jewish souls, it's called Knesset Yisrael, for example. That's an expression. Shehu Ruach Piv Yisborach HaNikra B'Shem Shechina. This is the divine aspect of Hashem, which is directly involved with the creation, which, depending on which type of book you're looking at, has different types of names. And he puts here two. Ruach Piv, the breath of Hashem's mouth, which that's the creative force by which the world was created when Hashem said, let there be light. And that's taken from a pasuk in Tehillim. And it's also called Shechina. If you look at the Zohar calls this very same thing, Shechina, divine presence. Why is it called divine presence? Al-Shem She-Sheichenis Am-Eslabeshis Teich Kel Ilmim. Because the divine presence rests and actually encloses itself into all the worlds, la'achayosim l'kayimim, to enliven them and to keep them existing. And that actually is what happens when we do mitzvahs. You could say Hashem, of course, is everywhere. Malakal aretz kevayda, the earth is filled with His glory. And what are you going to do to Hashem to change that? You can't change that. Hashem's glory is going to be filling the world whether you do anything or you don't do anything. However, when a person does a mitzvah, so he's causing there to be a real absolute developed revelation of Hashem in the world. In other words, you're making the effect of the Shekhinah more prominent.
In this case where it says the Shekhinah indwells everything, how do we juxtapose that against the idea that when we do certain things that the Shekhinah comes and dwells upon us? You know, it says the Spirit of Hashem will dwell upon you.
Where's the contradiction? Sounds like the same thing to me.
If it's already there, what is it coming to do?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying over here.
Okay.
That's exactly what he's saying over here. Yeah, it's here. And there's a greater revelation of it now.
Okay. All right.
Since it's infinite, the effect that it has in the world has infinite possibilities. And when a person does a mitzvah, for example, has this kavana of lasis elias barakir b'tachtenim, making the world a dwelling place for Hashem, or connecting to Hashem, what that does is it makes Hashem more apparent in the physical world.
Okay.
And we said last week, and we said the week before, even though you don't see it, it's still happening.
Okay.
Because your neshama, which is not limited by your body, for sure sees it.
Right.
Okay, because most of the neshama is not enclosed in the body. You know that, right? What? Most of your neshama, most of your soul, is not contained within your body. The only part of your soul which is contained in your body is your conscious, which would be considered, we call that in Hebrew, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, thought, speech, and action. That's where
What is it? So you're saying the neshama is mostly out of you?
The neshama is mostly around you, around you, out of you, connected to Hashem. He doesn't talk about the mentanya. because you have no control over what's not within your conscious. Which that also formulates your likes, dislikes, and a person's inability to be separated from Hashem. What do you want to say?
I'd like to see where this is from.
Oh, he doesn't, like I said, he doesn't talk about it in Tanya.
I can't imagine.
But it says, Chamisha Shemus Nikra Law, it says in, I don't know, the Zohar, Sefer Abar, the Zohar, I'm not sure what the expression is, five names are called to it, to the Neshama. So Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama are discussed in Tanya. And then Chaya and Yechida, which are not discussed in Tanya because you don't have any control over them, are superficial to the body. They are outside the body. Okay?
So it's like it surrounds it.
Yeah, it's like it surrounds it, yeah. Vehihi hamashpos b'kayach hadibur hazeh shemedaber b'divrei teira akayach hamaisa hazeh lasis mitzvah zu v'yichud zu al yedei hamshachas orintzai baruch olamata. And this shechina is the power. This is what gives the power to speak these words of Torah and to do these actions of doing the mitzvahs. As it says, he said previously in chapter 13, Ilmale lai la yuchol lai. As it said in chapter 13, that the Ilmale lo lo yuchol lai, were it not for the fact that Hashem is helping the individual, he would never be able to vanquish the Yetzirah.
Amen.
So it's Hashem who is giving us the power to be able to learn the Torah and do the mitzvahs, etc., etc. So al yedei hamshachas or ein seif lamatim al yedei oisak haTorah mitzvah shehu malubish behen. And this is accomplished by drawing down the infiniteness of Hashem below through occupying Torah and doing mitzvahs shehu malubish behen, which Hashem is enclosed in them, in the Torah and the mitzvahs. So we have a wonderful ability in that we are co-creationists, you might say. We have the ability of participating in the creation and making the world more. Hashem makes a world. And we make the world godly, which is an interesting twist. That's actually taken direct from the Zohar. It says that Hashem makes the world nothing from a something.
Right.
Takes ruchnius, makes it physical. And a Jew takes the physical and makes it spiritual. Or if you like, you could say a Jew takes the something and makes it a nothing. And I have for sure proof of that from my checking account. So, v'yiskaven lahamshich ora Hashem al makar nafesh nafesh kol Yisrael yachtam. And he should have in mind
14
to 12. And he should right above the note. And he should have in mind that when he's doing a mitzvah, that he's drawing down godliness not just on his soul, because he's the one doing it, but also on the souls of the entire Jewish community, right. That all souls are benefiting from it, since we're all this compilation of one big body. And so every mitzvah that a person does not only affects their soul, but affects every single soul. And that's why we say, Pirish Zayuchav Rehot, and he's going to explain this later on at great length. V'zeo Pirish L'shem Yichud Kut Shebrichu L'shchinti B'shem Kol Yisrael. We say, at the beginning of davening and elsewhere, that I'm doing this for the sake of all Israel, to unite the Holy One Blessed Be He and the Divine Presence for the sake of all Israel. That's not just lip service. We're not just saying that. Oh, I'm doing this for the sake of, you know, give it one for the Gipper. No. This is an absolute, that when a person is doing a mitzvah, they're drawing down the infiniteness of Hashem into the world. And how much infiniteness are they drawing down? Well, when you're talking infiniteness, you could only be drawing down infiniteness. So they're drawing down all of Hashem's infiniteness. Yes, 100%.
If you're talking about infiniteness, anything can fit in it. It's the borders, which are the tzimtzumim, you can absolutely fit in.
How much infiniteness are you drawing down?
Doesn't matter.
You're drawing down all of the infiniteness.
No, you have space for the infiniteness. How much you're drawing down is dependent on where you are.
No, absolutely not.
I disagree.
Okay, you're in some. You can't have an amount of infiniteness.
It's right. It's like just zero. A fast, it's fast, cooler. If you grab a little bit, you grab the whole thing, is the expression.
Is it through the Shekinah? Are we getting
We're talking. That's what he's still talking about.
So that's
the divine presence.
The ultimate bittul, then.
Yes. Exactly. When a person is doing a mitzvah, they have achieved the ultimate bittul because they're totally and completely enveloped in the Ratzon of Hashem.
There's a problem with that. Each
learning mitzvah. Learning the mitzvah. Yeah. And how many times can you do it? You can do it in 613 ways. Yes.
But that in and of itself is an indication that there are borders between the mitzvahs. There has to be.
Of course, there's borders. Yes.
Okay, so you're not.
That's in the physical world.
Down infiniteness. If
you're
do
confusing,
one mitzvah,
you're confusing what you're drawing down to what you're drawing it into. What has been drawing into is limited. You have mitzvahs that are governed by time and place. For example,
right.
You have mitzvahs that can only be done during the day. Mitzvahs that can only be done in Eretz Yisrael.
So I have matzah right now. It's a gesunta. Hey, I washed. I got a mitzvah for that. I get a mitzvah for
you
didn't, the,
and
for
you say halachic. And if you said alachil's matzah on it, you did something wrong.
Right.
Okay, that's true, 100%. If you shook your lulav right now, you'd be shaking a lulav, but you wouldn't be doing any mitzvahs. That's correct, because that's the shortcoming in the parameters of the physical world. But on the first night of Pesach, when you say alachil's matzah and you eat that matzah, you're drawing down the absolute infiniteness of Hashem into the world.
Clearly said we have 613 taps, if you please, or portals to draw down that infiniteness?
That's true. That's true.
Meaning I have 613 different ways to bring down that infiteness.
Yes, that's correct. But Yaakov's getting confused.
The infinite doesn't change.
Yaakov's question, though, is that how could it be infinite if I can't do it this mitzvah at this time? I could do this mitzvah at this time. I'm doing this mitzvah and then doing this mitzvah afterwards. So the physical performance of the mitzvahs have limitations,
right?
But the effect of the mitzvah does not have a limitation.
Correct.
That's why it is if a person does something good, you can't take it away from them. Once a person does the mitzvah, it's theirs. Whatever they do else afterwards does not take away from the fact that they did that one mitzvah. Okay?
I have a hard time with the 613. Aren't there more?
There are 613 mitzvahs in the
right.
Chumash. And there are 7 mitzvahs that are Rabbanan. And that's it. Everything else is just decrees and enactments that are to help the performance of the 613 commandments.
What if a Jew uses something like in the physical world for
that's called utilization.
Yes.
If you want to say that might be a part of the mitzvah, sanctify yourself and be holy. That's what that's a part of. That's the mitzvah that's a part of.
Because if he eats an apple, says the bracha, and use that energy to learn Torah.
Correct. He is making himself holy, which is a mitzvah to make yourself holy.
He's also isn't he raising the physical to the spiritual?
That happens with every mitzvah. It happens when you put on tefillin too.
Okay, so so it's one of the mitzvahs then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a masay tov.
Yeah, I mean, helping a lady across the street, okay, so you have a mitzvah of gemil chasadim.
All right.
You know, somewhere over here, if it fits within the guise of Torah, it's going to be a subset of some mitzvah somewhere, somehow.
Yeah. All right. One or several, I mean.
Yes.
Because
all right.
Exactly.
Whatever you may be doing.
Right. Exactly.
All right, thank you.
Right.
So he says in the notes, explaining, he says, of the Shem Kol Yisrael, and since it is, he's been talking about this, he introduced now this idea of love, and at the top of the page he's talking about fear of Hashem, which he's been talking about for like the last two pages, and then he just happened to mention, oh, by the way, you have to have love in order to balance it out, and at least the natural love that we have. So he says, when a person is engaged in doing the mitzvahs, and they are expression of his love of Hashem. Mm. So what that causes now is a quote-unquote sweetening of the severities with kindness. the world is an expression of divine severity. You have a statement, I think in Pirkei Avos, I wish I knew Mari Makaimis better, but I don't, that says, Ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Levares HaOlam V'Midas HaGvura, Hashem wanted to create the world using strict judgment. Ra'a Shelo Nizkayim, he saw that it wouldn't stand. So Shatav Ba Midas HaRachamim, so he mixed into it his attribute of mercy. Now that's the beginning of chapter 6 of Shaar Yechad V'Emunah. That's probably where the footnote is mentioned. Chapter 6. And he doesn't have a footnote for it. No, it's the beginning of chapter 5. I mean, he doesn't have a footnote anywhere over there.
I thought it was in 6.
No, it's the beginning of 5. I'll show you how to vote on it. So what does that mean? And without taking away too much, we want to keep you here for Shaar Yechad V'Emunah. So I'm not going to explain too much of Shaar Yechad V'Emunah. But it's not that Hashem wanted to create the world with Gevurah. Saw that the world couldn't stand because what could stand up to Hashem's Gevurah and said, okay, I got to throw some Rachmanis into it. Well, Hashem was not working on empirical evidence over here of trial and error.
Oops.
No, Hashem doesn't work that way. Rather, the main thrust of the creation of the world is that it should have limits.
Yes.
That's our main existence.
That's Gevurah.
You have never come across anything unlimited. So the main thrust of the creation is severity.
Yeah.
Now, severity has its byproducts.
Right.
Like with every time there's a concealment, so there's excess godliness which is left over, which goes into the formulating and the bringing to existence of the forces of evil. Mm-hmm. The forces of evil are a byproduct of Hashem saying, I want the world to be just this big. You want to say something, Yaakov?
We have something that is unlimited.
Go ahead.
So says the Skol Yareb, the previous Skol Yareb.
No, let me have.
In last week's Parsha,
that
with describing the love that Yaakov has for Yosef.
Okay. The love that a parent has for a child is unlimited. How poetic. Thank you so much. Yes.
Isn't that teenagers?
No, you never saw the bumper sticker, the grandchildren are the reward for not killing your teenagers?
Yes.
That's true.
Yes. Anyway, so the remember that one. So the major modus operandi of the creation and keeping this world in existence is Gevurah. Mm. Now, Gevurah, the translation of the word Gevurah is severe.
Yes.
One of the things that we do is when we're doing mitzvahs, is we're softening the edges. So that means also, if you soften the edges, when you're talking about three dimensions,
leaks.
If you're talking about softening the edges on three dimensions, what does that mean is we're going to start losing our dimensions just a little bit.
That's right.
And indeed, we see, for example, there is a holiness about a Sefer Torah, about Tefillin, etc. The edges, the three dimensions of a Sefer Torah just gotten a little bit fuzzy because it's conveying holiness.
Right.
So that's called that's called the sweetening of the severities.
Yeah.
By us doing the mitzvahs and making the world a little less gevuradik, a little less severe, we're allowing more godliness to permeate and radiate through. You have a question? Okay.
I don't know enough yet to. I'm
still, okay.
Been through it three times. This is the first time I've heard it this way.
Okay. Well, Mamela, stick with me. Mamela, automatically, but he's Kalalus Amidus. When you have this intercorporation of the attributes, V'yechudim al yedei Gili Ratzon Elyon Barachu.
He's Kalalus? What is it?
He's Kalalus. Yes. Which I don't know how he translates it over here, but I translated it as intercorporation.
need a dictionary for that one.
Okay. By means of the revelation of the name, which is revealed through
Impulsion.
For namely, is it revealed in, no, that's before that. The names of the revelation of the name, which is revealed through the impulsion.
Coalescence. That's it. There it is.
Yes.
Coalescence.
That works. Right. That everything works. Working, which means the ultimate fusion, you might say, of Chesed and Gevurah. And he talks about this. He's called Soshin Kolel, Lashon inclusive.
Okay.
Okay. Reflexive. It's happening by itself. Or it's happening to itself.
So it's the end of a process. Though.
Correct. Okay, so what you have is that Gevurah, Chesed and Gevurah are working as a single entity. And this really is the whole purpose of Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, is to show how Chesed and Gevurah are basically one function.
It's tohu with order.
That's a little bit too too flipped out for me right now, but go ahead.
I was having a hard time with the Gevurah part, that the sharpness of these edges.
The table has
that way because the mitzvahs haven't been done.
You have a table right in front of you. The table has a sharp edge on it.
Right.
I'm not talking about sharp edge. You can cut it because the table ends exactly where it ends. And you go one another go. You go one right. micron off, and you're not on the table anymore.
Right.
Correct.
Right. It has no aura.
Okay. That's all because the world being created with
limits.
As an expression of severity, it has exact limits.
Right.
Were it not created with severity, we're using Gevurah, it would not have those limits.
The
using the table now to put our sefarim on and learning on the table now makes the table a conveyor for doing the mitzvahs of Hashem, the mitzvah of Hashem, a learning Torah.
Okay.
And the table is now a vehicle for the revelation of the divine presence. So it's not that the table is never going to get more than 3 feet wide.
That's where I'm lost. I thought the edges once.
Okay, no. The table, that's what I'm saying. Why I use an example of Sefer Torah. The table is never going to get more than 3 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
But its physicalness is kind of getting muddled because it's really, right now, it's not a table as a table is. It's a table as a conveyor of Hashem's will. And right now, this table is being used to convey the infiniteness of Hashem. So this table is not just limited to three dimensions right now. It's expanding to conveying an infinite dimension within the three dimensions because we're using it.
Because whether it's a table...
Correct. Whatever physical thing you happen to be using. Correct.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
The frog is strong
enough. Okay.
Thank you.
And this comes through the Gilei Ratzon HaElyon Al Yid Baruch Hu HaMizgala L'mayla B'Hisarusa D'Latata. And this revelation comes down, this is a revelation of divine will, which comes through our efforts.
Efforts, right. Well, yeah.
How is it that all this happens? What do you say? We are co-creationists. We have a responsibility, a job,
privilege
of introducing this godliness into the world, the divine will into the world. It's through us. And it happens. Hashem made it easy.
7 billion people in the world.
Hashem made it easy for us. As we say in that the Mishnah that we say, the end of davening, Hashem wanted there to be many schusim for us, many merits for us. That's why Hashem made it easy for it. He gave us lots and lots and lots of mitzvahs.
Yeah.
That Hashem said, you know, what's going to happen after 120 years? They're going to ask the person, did you ever eat blood? No. Check. Did you ever eat bugs? No. Check.
At least not that I was aware of.
Yeah, okay. Right. Did you ever, harvest your entire field and not leave a paya over? No. Check. Okay. So, we have all these mitzvahs that are given to us to make it easier.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why we have the mitzvahs. is it makes our life so much easier, because whether we like it or not, we're going to do it anyway. Because it says, even the most negligent of Jews is filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. So they're doing these things anyway. They're just not aware of what they're doing at all. If a person does a mitzvah and doesn't know that they're doing a mitzvah,
Does it change the mitzvah?
They have to be a Jew, though.
Pardon?
If a non-Jew does the same exact thing, is he doing mitzvah?
No.
No.
He has no mitzvahs to do
it. He has no mitzvah to do it, then he's not doing it. Correct. And it is accomplishing.
So you're saying that a Yid that's doing a mitzvah that doesn't realize he's doing a mitzvah because he doesn't think he keeps it is still going to get...
You're walking down the street, and you have a hole in your pocket, and you lose a buck. And a poor person picks up the buck.
Right.
And you don't know that the poor person picked up the buck until you get home. Right. When did you do tzedakah? From the time that you realized it or the time that this poor person picked it up? From the time that the person picked it up. You had no idea you were even doing a mitzvah. Okay? You don't like that one? I can't help you. It's a good example.
You could do a kiddush Hashem and not know you're doing it.
That's for sure. Okay, the effect that we have, and so now a person who's
so let me ask you, a guy ahead. That performs sheva mitzvahs b'nei nayach,
yes,
without das of the of doing the mitzvahs, are they not doing the mitzvahs?
No, they're not. Not.
Well, those
I'm not
mitzvahs.
Talking about a Christian who is a you know who's an upstanding individual. I'm talking about
you got one mitzvah. The first mitzvah is believing in God. So believing in God is going to express itself in
and
the other six. No. I'm talking about it's an impossibility for them not to know that they're doing the mitzvahs, because the first mitzvah that a non-Jew has is to believe in God. And how are they supposed to believe in God is by fulfilling the other six.
Well, actually, the mitzvah is not to commit idolatry.
Okay.
And the implication, the implication thereby, meaning that they have a job to learn who God is.
Some poor slob in Indonesia somewhere.
Who accidentally doesn't worship idols?
Who does not worship idols?
He's a moral person, and he's a
kid. He's a moral person.
Doesn't kill anybody. Doesn't steal.
According to Sheva Mitzvahs, he is only held accountable for what he knows. The same as Yid. Only held accountable for what we know or what we don't know. And the reward you get for whatever you do or don't do is based on what you know or don't know.
It's a different system.
I'm not being skeptical. I'm genuinely asking.
No, it's a different system.
Well, he's on an island by himself, and he establishes a court system. That's one of the seven.
He's on a deserted island by himself, and
he establishes a community, and they have.
He'd be really smart. He'd get himself off the island. Yeah,
he gets all the ice island. He's going to say healthy food, healthy raw
right, exactly.
And he establishes a court system and a just society, and there's a few mitzvahs there. For
Bnei Noah. He would have to know that he's doing it. Ultimate mitzvah.
He still has to know he's doing it.
He has to know ultimate mitzvah, yeah.
Last time I was by Rabbi Light over on President Street.
Yeah.
It was a big Shabbos table like he normally has. And there were two guys there, Schwarzer and a dark.
Weiter.
A non-Jew and a Jewish guy, and they were in the middle of writing a Havdol Shulchan Aruch for Sheva Mitzvahs, for the B'nai Noach.
It already exists.
It already exists.
I have copies at home.
I'd love to see
Hebrew copies.
We're talking 15 years.
I have it at home. It already exists.
Fine. Anyway, let's continue.
I wonder if it's from the same guys.
That they are the will of Hashem. Rabbis explained in the Zohar, in Mishnah's Chassidim, and his older brother in the Kabbalah, in Mesechus Eret Ankin, Perek Dalet, Shetariag Mitzvah Satera, Nim Shachas Mei Chavarte Derech Ampin. For those of you who want to know, the 613 commandments of the Torah are drawn down from the white part of Erech Anpim, Shehu Ratzana Elyon Makara Chassidim, HaChassadim, that this is the supernal will of Hashem, which this is the source of kindness. that chavarta derech anpin, the whiteness, is that how he translates it? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
The whiteness of erech anpin. Erech anpin is simply divine will. The whiteness of erech anpin, white is on all inclusive. White, right. When you're talking about light,
right.
contains the full spectrum. So this is the full rutzayin of Hashem.
Yeah.
Chavarta also responds to the level of kindness, because kindness is just giving. Because later on he talks about in Shachar Muna, he talks about butzina de kardnisa, which is the black light, which is the severities of rutzayin.
Stop at your note.
Yeah, we stop at the note. We stopped at the narrow lines on the bottom of page 212.